been really wonderful to be able to go directly to Arizonans and ask them what they care about versus that being filtered through other people. So we think that that's really empowering to be able to lift those voices up and say, this is what Arizonans have said they want. And then it's up to us in the different seats we sit in to figure out what do we do then.
You're listening to
the Learning Futures
Podcast. The Learning Futures
Podcast. The Learning Futures Podcast.
You're listening to the Learning Futures Podcast.
Welcome to the Learning Futures Podcast. I'm your host, Ron Baghetto. On this show, we explore big ideas, key issues, and questions facing education now and into the future, moving from what currently is to what could and should be, including considering serendipities and setbacks along the way. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Amanda Burke. Amanda, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the work you do?
Yes, thank you, Ron, for having me. Looking forward to the conversation today. My name is Amanda Burke, and I am the Executive Vice President at the Center for the Future of Arizona, which is a nonprofit located in downtown Phoenix, but works across the state. Our mission is to bring Arizonans together to create a stronger and brighter future for the state. We do that in a variety of ways, and key work that we have is in the areas of education, workforce development, and civic engagement.
Excellent. And before we kind of dive into that, what we'd like to ask our guests, particularly because we sometimes have students listen to this podcast, and students often have a lot of pressure to, you know, decide what they're going to do when they grow up and what their future is going to be and all these career counseling things that happen and even now in middle school. I'm always curious to hear how our guests ended up where they currently are. So can you tell us a little bit about your own journey? How did you end up working for the Center for the Future of Arizona?
Absolutely. So my journey really started in the classroom. I was a teacher with Teach for America in South Central Los Angeles, teaching high school English, and really had an opportunity to see firsthand that the public education that I had experienced growing up was not the same public education that the students I taught were receiving. And so really opened my eyes in a very direct way to inequities in education, but also to how systems are structured. And when I thought about how can I make the greatest impact on improving outcomes and lives of young people, I initially thought that that path was going to be as a high school principal. And so I did a brief stint in the private sector at Accenture Consulting, thinking that that experience would give me some skills and experiences that I could utilize then to bring back to education. I returned to the classroom to get more teaching experience, and then made the leap to pursue graduate education to become a high school principal. And that took me from Texas, which is where I grew up, to Arizona, to Arizona State University. And I know in your show, you like to touch on serendipity as well as setbacks. There I was wanting to focus full time on my graduate studies, only to find out that once I had moved here, the cohort I was in, that most of the students in my graduate program were teaching full time. And so my classes were actually going to meet in the evening. And so it left me with a lot of time on my hands during the day. And the bit of serendipity is that a faculty member had seen a position for a graduate research assistant in President Crow's Office of University Initiatives, which was really his shop focused on the New American University when it was early on as an idea. And I applied and was hired and started working on what is now the ASU prep schools when it was just a kernel of an idea, and ended up actually staffing President Crow on the Governor's Education Council and the State Board of Education. He was serving as university president at that time in both of those capacities. And I started to see how public policy was made in Arizona and saw the connections to the challenges that I experienced as a teacher, and started to see the relationship between policy and practice, and just had an incredible opportunity to help influence that through the work of ASU. And then fast forward, I was really recruited by the Center for the Future of Arizona to come join the team there to really take that desire that I have of making as big of an impact as possible and to do that on a statewide scale through the center. So I've been with the center for 12 years, started out working on one discrete project, which is the threads are still going strong today in terms of future of learning and learner-centered education. And over time, my role has evolved, and now I'm proud to be serving as executive vice president.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that story. I think it's great how you highlighted that serendipity and how that's really kind of an unplanned experience that you had that really took you in this really interesting direction. And you did all this while you were still navigating graduate school?
Well, I completed my master's in administration, and then I held several different positions actually in the Office of University Initiatives. So I stayed there for a number of years directly with ASU, and then pursued my doctorate with ASU as well. So have been on, I'm a lifelong learner, like many, and so have lived that personally while I'm also trying to inspire that in our education system broadly.
That's great. And you received your doctorate in what?
Education, innovation, and policy.
At ASU as well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. Okay. So what I really like is how, your journey, you started in the classroom and then your work is now well beyond the walls of the school and classroom. And you mentioned that, three of the core strategic initiatives for the Center for the Future of Arizona is education, the workforce, and civic health. So can you talk a little bit about some of those initiatives that are currently underway? And maybe what are some of the intersectionalities amongst education, workforce, and civic health?
At the Center for the Future of Arizona, as I shared, our mission is to bring Arizonans together to create a stronger and brighter future for the state. The way in which we do that is by really listening to what matters most to Arizonans. Then we look to the data to see how we're doing on the issues that Arizonans care about. We work to get those issues into public dialogue and discussion, and then we work alongside communities and partners in what I think of as us rolling up our sleeves to solve public problems. We know in Arizona that we can't have a bright, prosperous future for all who call our state home without attending to education, workforce, and civic engagement. They underpin anything that we could want, for the future. And so those are three areas where we really have gone in deep in terms of initiatives where we're really trying to improve the lives of Arizonans today, but really through a lens of systems change. So we're really thinking about how do we prove that there are fundamentally different ways to going about work in these spaces that will yield significant outcomes. So that in that space, that's really how we see the intersection between education, workforce, and civic engagement. In education, one of the things that we have spent a lot of time thinking about is if we're not satisfied with the outcomes that we have in our education system, then we need to really think differently about the system itself. And so that system redesign and really being open to thinking about fundamental new possibilities for how we approach education really drives our work in that space. And then in education, the major areas that we're in are data. We were the developer of the Arizona Education Progress Meter in partnership with what is now Education Forward Arizona. It's one of eight progress meters that the Center for the Future of Arizona has developed to really highlight how are our young people doing and a handful of indicators that we know matter for future success for kids, but also for the state. And then we're working in career-connected pathways, school leadership development, and then in that space of fundamentally reimagining what's possible in the area of learner-centered or personalized learning.
Yeah, that's great. And so let's kind of take a deep dive here. And I think our listeners may be interested in hearing, how do you move from gathering input from folks in Arizona and then scaling that up to system change. So can you pick like one particular example of where you were hearing some feedback about concerns or areas of need or areas of interest? And we can stay within education, or it could be across any of those three areas. And then how do you move that to systems change? And what are some of the challenges and barriers you're seeing, but also what are some of the successes you're having?
I would love to be able to share that. So one of the major ways that the Center for the Future of Arizona listens to Arizonans and really gets that feedback is through a decennial survey that we do with the Gallup organization called the Arizona We Want, where we really are asking Arizonans, how are you experiencing life today? And what are your priorities for the future? You know, what is it that matters most to you as you think about your future and the future of our state? And we ask, the most comprehensive, significant survey of its kind, designed at the outset with Gallup to be representative of Arizonans, not just as a whole, but by geography and demographics. And the findings, education consistently is one of the issues that rises to the top. Jobs, healthcare, right up there as well. And in education, Arizonans have said, one, that they believe that a highly educated and skilled population is good for Arizona. Part of what we've been able to distill from the survey are what we're identifying as shared public values, where more than 70% of Arizonans, with strong agreement across geography, demographics, et cetera, believe in these core public values. And so we know Arizonans care about education. And then they've also told us some changes that they'd really like to see happen over the next 10 years. Those include, for example, ensuring all Arizona public schools have great teachers and principals. 92% of Arizonans have said that is absolutely important. That's, you know, practically consensus when it comes to surveys of this kind. We also, when we think about the future of learning and the future of education, Arizonans have also said, we'd like schools to have the flexibility to tailor learning to every child. Over 75% of Arizonans said that that was important. And when you ask Arizonans who are parents, it goes up even higher. So that's one piece of information that we have. But another that complements this is really reaching out directly to community and to partners. So an example in education is we know with COVID that education has changed more dramatically in the last year and a half than it has in the last decade. You know, educators across the board rose to the challenge of doing things differently at an incredible pace. And while there have been significant challenges for educators, they have also identified that there are many things that they have done differently as a result of COVID to meet the needs of kids that they want to continue doing. So the Center for the Future of Arizona collaborated with another organization in Arizona, A for Arizona, and held listening sessions where we reached out to school leaders, both district and charter leaders, public schools in Arizona, to say, we want to hear from you. What is working well that you want to see continue? What is it that the policy environment could do to better support you? And from that, we were able to develop a policy brief called The Future of Schooling Starts Now that we released last March, and identified a few things that we heard from school leaders that they really wanted: rethinking seat time at the school and student level, modernizing the availability of quality online and remote learning, and ensuring flexible and highly transparent spending. Schools wanted more flexibility in how they could spend dollars that they have. So we developed that policy brief, shared it, and in this past legislative session, again, in collaboration with the field, with schools and leaders, we're able to support a piece of legislation, House Bill 2862, that has actually taken some of those flexibilities that were granted on a waiver basis during COVID and made them permanent, that are fundamentally going to reshape how schools can think about seat time and funding. So schools still will receive, students will still receive the same minimum number of instructional hours that have always been required, but now schools have flexibility in how they satisfy that. So they could continue to offer direct instruction. They could offer project-based learning, mastery-based learning. It can be a combination of in-person or remote. So it creates this flexibility that schools have never really had permission to do, that enables them to think much more differently about this. And then the final piece of the story is that we're thrilled that through recent investment of COVID relief dollars that Governor Ducey has allocated, we're going to be able, the Center for the Future of Arizona is now able to organically expand the Arizona Personalized Learning Network, which really is an effort that helps build the capacity of schools and learning communities that want to do more learner-centered, student-centered work. And I think it's such a great complement to policy, because in my mind, policy is one piece of the puzzle, but if we don't have effective implementation, or we don't support, in this case, schools, to be able to maximize policy flexibilities in a way that is effective, you know, then we have a missed opportunity.
And that sounds like a very potentially powerful process that you have, where you get the voice of folks and you're able to kind of bring that together and actually move legislation and then implementation, as you said. And as a creativity researcher, I'm always interested in hearing, you know, things that are maybe done a little bit differently. And it sounds like there's, you're kind of creating, helping create spaces where that can be done. Are there some things that you've seen or heard, any kind of particular examples that can help our listeners kind of imagine what this looks like? If there's something that's really been surprising or particularly innovative that you've seen that caught your attention in recent years?
I think the thing that catches my attention is that school leaders and educators, so many of them have tried and are making strides in moving towards more learner-centered education, which is a big paradigm shift from school-focused education. You know, in terms of, we still have a conventional, by and large, conventional schooling model developed in the late 1800s, early 1900s, that was really in response to the industrial model at the time. And we've continued that, this idea that effective learning can happen for all students on the same schedule, in the same classes, in the same pace. And yet we can look at student outcomes and listen to kids and their families and know that that is not working by and large for all kids. And so I've been so inspired by school leaders and, again, educators and people in the community that have said there have to be other ways to go about teaching and learning, and moving from that being an aspiration to actually putting that into practice. And thinking about our podcast today, I was really reflecting on so much of the work that the Center for the Future of Arizona has done. You know, it is done in partnership with others, and it's with partners that we've had longstanding relationships with. So, for example, Yuma Union High School District. 10 years ago, almost exactly, I was in Yuma with a group of school administrators, and we literally burned copies of the master schedule. Like, we stood up in a room and lit them on fire. And I laugh now because, you know, we had this idea of redesigning schools around mastery-based education so that we can meet kids where they're at, support them with what they need, and give them the time that they need to master the knowledge, skills, and experiences that they need in all the academic areas. And it, that work is so difficult. You know, it's one thing to say that we're going to blow up the master schedule, but it is a huge paradigm shift to for schools to be able to make those moves. And so I'm inspired by the schools that have said, you know what, we are going to do it. And CFA is just really proud to be able to bring technical assistance and support to meet those schools where they are in that journey and help them actually make the changes in policy and in practice, including at the classroom level, to make that a reality.
Yeah, I think that's a really compelling, you know, visual and enacted metaphor of, you know, I've often said that if you want to rethink and reimagine schooling, sometimes you have to reject some of the fundamental received premises like the school schedule. So actually burning the school schedule, I think, is a pretty powerful, sends a pretty powerful message that we're starting from scratch. We're going to do something completely different. And so I think that's really interesting to think about. And as given that this is the Learning Futures podcast, I'm obliged to invite you to kind of imagine at least three possible futures with us as you're continuing to do this work. And of course, it's, you know, baked into the name of your center as well. So the three futures I want you to kind of explore with us, based on the work that you're currently doing, the first would be the good, the second would be the bad, and the third would be the beautiful. So can you imagine those three different futures in some of the work you're doing? And in particular, I've heard you mention this more tailored, individualized, personalized learning. Maybe we can explore, you know, three possible futures with respect to that work.
What a question. And I'm excited to share some thoughts on that. So I think the good would be that we have more seamless educational experiences for students as they're moving through their elementary, middle school, high school, and into post-secondary, you know, whatever form of training and learning that, that they're pursuing beyond high school, that those systems are more interconnected and really designed with the student in mind. You know, how is a student experiencing this, and what are we hoping for each one of our young people in Arizona? I think that would be the good, and really embracing this idea of learner-centered education. I think the bad would be we take all the learnings from COVID-19 in terms of realizing that we can make big shifts in education, but we lose the momentum or the will to truly reimagine education because the systems and structures are so entrenched. That would be the bad, in my view. And the beautiful would be that we, as Arizonans and as individuals working in the education space, truly embrace this idea of learner-centered education. And I love the way that an organization called Education Reimagined describes it, which is that the aim is to nurture and support the development of whole human beings within caring communities where each learner is known, accepted for who they are, and supported to learn and thrive now and into the future. So the beautiful for me would be we embrace that as the North Star and are open to reimagining education at the classroom, the school, and in our communities and at the state level in a way that really fosters student agency and nurtures students' interests and passions so that they truly become master learners, equipped to be able to pursue their passions, and also equipped with the knowledge and skills and experiences that we know Arizona is going to need to continue to thrive into the future.
Yeah, that really is a beautiful and hopeful future that you're inviting us to imagine. And I think some of the work we're doing in the Teachers College here, the master's program for students that are preparing to become teachers, and many of them are changing careers and so on. And like you said, many folks haven't ever experienced that kind of personalized, individualized learning. So what we're trying to do is model that for our teacher candidates by, we call them power-ups. We're kind of providing a menu, but also inviting them to add items to the menu that are kind of this just-in-time learning. So if they're going to be meeting with families, for example, you know, what are some ways to think through that? Or, you know, how do you infuse creativity into your curriculum? So giving them that experience with personalized learning themselves so that they hopefully have a vision for what that's like, and they are going to be maybe more inclined to carry that forward in the work in their own classrooms. And I think with organizations like yours, supporting that work, but also giving them the adults who may have not experienced that in their own prior schooling experiences, those opportunities to see what that's like and to be willing to take that kind of beautiful risk of moving away from the way school is to the way it could and should be. So thank you for sharing these ideas. It sounds like your organization is doing really exciting work. And it's great that, you know, you came out of the classroom and are now kind of looking at this on a much larger scale and really trying to support the future of Arizona. So I'm going to invite you to share anything that maybe we haven't covered that you want to mention, but I'm also curious, I realize the focus is on Arizona, obviously, but because Arizona is not in a bubble, do you do some partnerships with other states and share kind of what you're doing or learn from other states in your work?
Our focus is Arizona, and we partner with national organizations across the board in each one of our major initiatives. So for example, in our school leadership development work, we work with a national organization, the National Center on Education and the Economy, who has a well-regarded curriculum called the National Institute for School Leadership. And in our Career Connected Pathways work, we work with Jobs for the Future, which is a leader in both policy but also practice work. And then in our personalized learning work, we work with a number of collaborators nationally, and in particular, KnowledgeWorks. All of these are nonprofits as well, but what they bring is additional research and experience that we're able to leverage here in Arizona. And in doing so, we're also lifting up the stories of all the many things that are working so well in our state, and we're able to spread that in collaboration with our national partners. So that's one way in which we're contributing more on the kind of in the national dialogue.
Yeah, that's great. I really do believe that plurality of perspectives and sharing those stories, most importantly, and research is really a way to generate new possibilities. In that Gallup survey, are there opportunities for some open-ended questions or responses, or is it kind of pre-packaged for the most part?
Yeah, we did include a few open-ended responses. I think because of the breadth of the survey, Gallup told us at the beginning, it's really hard to analyze that data and have anything that's, you know, you really can have confidence in on the open-ended. But the way we design the survey is it's mixed methods, and that we start with qualitative, and Gallup does qualitative interviews with everyday Arizonans who are part of something called the Gallup panel that represent different kind of geographies and demographics. So not known folks, just Arizonans. And then they did also do some interviews with some more known leaders. And then from that, we were able to identify some broad themes that Arizonans really were key issues on people's minds. And that, coupled with input we had from kind of stakeholders in all these issue areas, then helped form the basis of the actual survey itself. But I think the survey had, I want to say like 65 questions. I mean, it's a significant, you know, survey. And then we do that every 10 years and use that to help refresh and reinforce this idea we have of the Arizona we want, which are the shared aspirations and hopes and dreams of Arizonans, and holding that up as a long-term vision that many individuals, organizations, communities can collectively work towards. You know, we think Arizona is great, and we know lots of other people do too. And there is something to be said about a vision that people can really see their work inside of, you know, in terms of where is that North Star. And it's been really wonderful to be able to go directly to Arizonans and ask them what they care about versus that being filtered through other people. So we think that that's really empowering to be able to lift those voices up and say, this is what Arizonans have said they want. And then it's up to us in the different seats we sit in to figure out what do we do then.
Before we let you go really quickly, is there anything new or surprising, a new trend or something new that emerged, particularly in this last, you know, how many years have we been in this lockdown or whatever, COVID and all this, that's kind of jumping out as a new trend or something that maybe has just caught your attention from that survey? Like, when was the most recent survey?
We just completed it. It's still, you know, in our minds, hot off the presses. You mean in terms of any findings specific to education or just overall?
Overall, any kind of new trends or new things that are popping up given everything that's happened?
You know, one of the things that we've said is that we did the survey 10 years ago, that while we didn't articulate the shared public values as shared public values 10 years ago in terms of the findings, we could have, and there would have been a lot of consistency. And I think that in some ways that's surprising, but also reassuring, in that what Arizonans think is important for the future of the state seems to be pretty durable. So I think that's important for people to know, that it makes it meaningful, I think, to really focus in on these areas, that these are not things that are just quickly changing. I think when you look at, so the other part of the story is there's significant consensus on what Arizonans want. There are significant disparities in how Arizonans are experiencing life today. So when you look at, we asked Arizonans about workplace satisfaction, Arizonans making under the median income have less satisfaction. They want more opportunities to grow their education and training in our state. So you see kind of this narrative emerging of people are hungry for opportunities and want that, you know, want to build a career, want to build a life. And so I think as we continue to really do the work that's needed around racial inequities and economic inequities, the Gallup findings really point to some areas of need that I think can inform people's thinking. So those would be a few.
So Amanda, is there anything else you'd like to share? And how can our listeners learn more about the Center for the Future of Arizona?
In terms of additional things to share, I think it's specific to education is just the recognition that our education system is absolutely critical to our state's economic prosperity, quality of life, and civic health. And that we know from Arizonans, and as I shared from the most recent Gallup Arizona survey, that Arizonans truly want a quality education system that is both excellent and also equitable. You know, that they truly want an education system that prepares every child to succeed and thrive, which I think should give a lot of wind in the sails for educators, both current and aspiring, in terms of the direction that we're headed in the state and what Arizonans really want. And then I think the work for all of us is identifying where are the opportunities to contribute to that. You know, where are the ways in which we can move from a vision to making that a reality. And in terms of learning more about the Center for the Future of Arizona, I would invite our listeners to visit our website, www.arizonafuture.org. We would invite you to read the latest Gallup Arizona report, which is on our website, join our mailing list, and follow us on social media as well. And we always welcome new ideas, collaboration opportunities, and continuing to listen to Arizonans in terms of what they want for the future.
Excellent. Thank you. We'll be sure to drop that information in our show notes. And thank you again, Amanda, for sharing your experiences and the work you're doing with the center.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ron. It's been an absolute pleasure.
That's a wrap. Thank you for listening to the Learning Futures podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for more information, and see you next time.
The Learning Futures podcast is produced at Mary Lou Fulton Teachers College at Arizona State University. Executive producers are Dr. Sean Leahy and Claire Gilbert. The show is produced by Dr. Clarine Collins and Karina Munoz-Baltazar. Audio production provided by Claire Gilbert.